This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis. Our resident millennial, John, is out with a weak immune system. And so we have a special guest with us today. We have an 11-year-old named Everett. He also likes to go by the Bird Slayer. Why do they call you that, Everett?
I shot a ruffed grouse with a BB gun.
That's awesome.
With a BB gun. You shot a ruffed grouse. How many shots did it take you?
Well, it went down in one, but just to make sure it was dead, I shot it in the head one more time.
Okay, so that's why they call him the Bird Slayer, folks. And he's going to be walking with us today on today's show. And we're going to be talking about kids in the church. Why is it important? And why is Jesus so excited about children and care for children? Everett, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you go to school and what do you like to do?
I go to Houghton Middle School and I like to play football and, of course, hunt.
What's your favorite football team?
Detroit Lions.
He admitted it on the air. Good job.
That's a good boy. That's a good boy.
He's faithful.
Faithful, faithful. We're talking about this idea of children and raising children to love and to worship God. The scriptures point us to this in many different places. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about that. When you stand up, when you lie down, wherever you're going, to be talking about God and the ways of God. Everett, as you have grown up in the church, tell us just a little bit of what are some of the things that you've come to understand? What are some of the things that you really appreciate about growing up in the church?
Yeah, I believe that God is the creator and that going to church helps you learn more about him and gives you a better perspective about who he is and what he can do.
That's good. So what about like perspective on your own life? Does he also, because he's the creator of the world, would you say that he kind of knows how this place works?
Yeah.
And so has that helped you in your 11 years of living and breathing?
Yep.
How has it helped you? Maybe like on a playground, maybe on in school. What are some things that you've taken out of that you would say, hey, yeah, this is one of the things that I understood maybe from church?
Probably on the playground and friends and help with kindness and everything you need to know, really.
What about maybe drive at school? Because from a little kid, you've known that if a man, what does it say? If a man doesn't work, what is he not? He doesn't
eat.
So sometimes school, is it hard?
Yeah.
And so is that passage kind of rung in your head a few times?
Yep.
All right. Parents are reminded in the scripture that children are really a heritage of the Lord. Psalms 127, 3 through 5 talks about that, and that they're really a gift from God. They're something that God has given us to enjoy, to raise, to walk with, to help understand. One of God's plans for us to know him is through our parents. And as our parents are walking with God, we see this living understanding of how God works in his family, and we have a picture of the authority of God as our earthly fathers and our earthly mothers. We have some of these pictures within scripture that play out in our families. The scriptures tell us, and children are instructed, to obey their parents. That's part of the Ten Commandments, that they would obey your parents. When he said that, it wasn't like this blind understanding, but it's these parents are following God, and when they're telling you something, they're telling you something that would help you to understand God or know how he works within this world. Everett, as you've been raised in church and raised with a mom and dad who know God, how many times have you kind of went, man, I don't really like what they say?
Many.
And yet, what do you take of this passage of scripture that says to obey your parents?
Well, you should do it if you don't want like a spanking or don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, there's consequences. Sure, there's consequences. Even God says that there's consequences. He says that when we are children of his, which means that we're a follower of Jesus, that we've said yes to Jesus, that we understood what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that we become a child of God, that we're adopted into the family of God. And when we're adopted into the family of God, he says that when we go astray or when we are disobedient to him, there's a couple of things that are possibilities. And one of them is discipline. It says that he will discipline those he loves. Those are his kids, and he disciplines. And I know as a kid, I did not enjoy being disciplined. And there are times, if I'm honest, I also grew up in the church. I didn't always like going to church. We had to go to evening church, and there was nothing to do other than it was kind of almost like junior morning church. So there was like some type of a Bible study, a few songs. The origination of evening church was actually to be an evangelistic time. It was a time to proclaim the gospel and to go out. And then it became a church service that was, if I'm honest, I did not like going to, because I like to play football, I like to go hunting, and it cut into some of those times. And yet my parents were faithful to bring me there and faithful to say yes to this, because this was a part of my training, a part of me understanding this and understanding why it's important to be in the church and to know God's people and to know God's word and to walk in that. The disciples were asking, who then is the greatest in the kingdom? Jesus calls a little child over to him, and he placed the child among them and said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. What do you think the world, Travis, do you think he meant by that?
That is a great question. I think we've got to have a childlike faith. That's the thing that I love about Everett hanging out with us. That's the thing that I love about hanging out with the youth on a Sunday morning or on our Sunday night for youth group. To see a childlike faith actually lived out, it does something to my spirit when I see that. Because as grown-ups, like, we can get a little curmudgeon-y. We can get a little bit stuck with, well, we got to do the work and pay the bills and get into that mindset. And sometimes even good things like hanging out with community at church can start to be another one of those druthersome things, and it gets to be put on our to-do list of stuff that we just have to keep going, must do, must check off the list. And so to see when kids are here, and it's awesome here at Evangel, especially on Sunday after church, like the kids are hanging out with their friends, they're running around, they're still singing the songs that they were singing in Sunday school, but they're playing football, tearing it up on the playground. And I think to see that childlike faith where they don't have the questioning, like their hearts are just not as hardened as our hearts get as when we're an adult. The way that they memorize scripture, which is another awesome thing that I think when kids start doing that at a young age, it just sticks with them better than, maybe it's just me, but it sticks with them better than when I try to do that on my side of things too. So like there's just, it's like the wonder in their eyes of it, of like, wow, God is so big. Wow, God is so awesome. God is so cool. They want to share that too. And I think that's part of the thing that really gets me excited, is to see they have like this evangelistic heart in kids. When they start to grasp and know Jesus and start to come into a relationship with him, they're excited about it. It's awesome. It stirs up us old fogies in the church to be able to be like, man, remember when I was like that? Remember when things were cool and I loved God and I was running with him? So it's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, I think there's also just that you said, that childlike trust,
mm-hmm,
and childlike faith. They're like, okay, yeah, God is my God, and I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to follow him. And if he says I'm not supposed to do this, I probably shouldn't, even though it's really hard for me not to do this. But there's not like this huge questioning of everything. And I think when we get as an adult, lots of things become clouded in our heads and clouded in our minds, and children don't have that. The other thing I think is going on in that passage is jockeying of position.
Mm-hmm.
Kids do that at some level, but not usually. They kind of hang out in crazy packs, right? And they're running around, they're playing, they're enjoying. And if you're fun and I, you know, like, let's play together. It's not, there's not any like, I am an 11-year-old and you're a 9-year-old. It's none of that stuff, right? Like, it's like, dude, you're fun, I'm fun. Let's do this together. Let's have a good time. And I think in the first century, there wasn't a lot of rites for kids. And so the parents were bringing their kids to be blessed by Jesus. And the adults were like, no, Jesus has more important things to do. And I think that's part of that passage, is that Jesus uses an opportunity about what does it really mean to be godly and godly leadership. And like children, the kingdom-minded leaders shouldn't be jockeying for position, looking to have power over others. Everett, how much power do you have over others?
About none.
That's right? Like your dog, you might have a little power over her. What's your dog's name?
Josie.
Yeah, where does Josie sleep every night?
Right next to my butt.
Yeah. You are the stinkiest one, so she goes there, right? But there's no jockeying for position because there's no position to be had. They're kids. And I think that is one of the cool things about kids. You see them serving each other. You see them hanging out with each other. You see them playing with each other. There's not this worry of who am I in the same sense that adults have. And I think that he's trying to help to communicate that. He makes a point that these kids are really valuable. They're really valuable, and we should, at some level, have that same connection, whether it be a connection to the trust factor, whether it be we shouldn't be jockeying for position. I'm not doing this so I look good, so others look at me. It's just, man, I'm in this, in the kingdom, enjoying the fun, because it's fun, because it is.
That's a good point. You talked about how they were kind of marginalized back then. And so when Jesus is talking about this, you almost get the idea that they're not part of that community. And so when you have kids in your community, your body of believers at church, they infuse life into that thing. We know on a Sunday morning, like, it's not going to be quiet inside our worship center when we're preaching. There's kids that cry. There's kids that laugh. Sometimes the kids are the only ones that get our jokes. So, you know, it's great to have them there. And I think when we see the fullness of the body of Christ that is the church, that we need to have kids there. They're super important. They infuse life. When we see them grasp onto knowing who Jesus is and coming to a faith in him, like we do our baptism picnic things in the late summer. When we baptize kids, those are some of the best moments that we have in our church, and we celebrate that, and it's awesome.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, there's another passage that talks about kids and Jesus. It's this really stern warning. One of them, he says, hey, well, you got to come like this, like a kid. And then the next one, he talks about protecting children. And he says, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have large millstones hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. When Jesus has had this thing to say, these kind of important things to say, he often used hyperbole to do this. And he communicates in such a sheer like magnitude when he says this. He says, it would be better to have a large millstone hung around their necks. And I was thinking about, as I thought about this passage, if anyone causes one of these little ones those who believe in me to stumble. I thought, you know what? We already kind of know this in our society. If you hurt a kid, if there's a perp that hurts a kid, it is not good for them in the prison systems, no. Right? Even though these guys, these other perps that are there have caused, you know, whatever, they've stolen something, they may have murdered an adult. But if you're somebody that's hurt a kid, you're in a special category. And that plays out just in our world. But I was thinking about this in regards to church. When you're a parent of a child who believes in God, believes in Jesus, and you stop bringing them to church, does this passage actually apply to you? Because what he says in there is, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it'd be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their necks. So not bringing them to church, being disconnected from the body of Christ, being disconnected from the assembly, being disconnected from the full counsel of what God is doing in the world, when people meet in church, the invisible becomes visible, and you're withholding that from kids. Is that part of what he's talking about, you think, Travis?
I think it is. I mean, as a parent, you know, we have biblical standards that we try to live by as followers of Christ. And like, as a parent of my own kids, like, I want to instill those things in them. And there are things that my kids pick up, and Everett, maybe you can attest to this. There's stuff that you'll listen to from people that are at the church that your mom and dad could say, but coming from somebody else, hearing that from them makes a lot more sense to you, or you're more apt to listen to it.
Yeah, totally.
Dad's got a big grin on his face, ready to put you on the spot. But my kids are the same way. Like, you've got, you know, your Sunday school teachers or your youth group leaders and just other older kids in high school or college that you hang out with at the church. And like, they can speak some of this truth into you that you wouldn't grab onto, or, you know, mom and dad are just, they're too old to understand the things of these days.
Yeah. The other thing I think he's talking about here is temptation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Everett, you understand what temptation is, right?
Yep.
Has any one of your brothers or a friend tempted you to do something that you shouldn't have done?
Yes.
Why don't you confess it right now? Give us an example of something that maybe they tried to encourage you or tempt you with that you may or may not have done.
I can't really think of anything right off the top of my head.
What about when mom says, come on, and everyone's still playing?
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yep.
Now it's confession time.
In this passage, he's not talking exactly about that, but I think he is talking about leading people into temptation, leading people away from him, leading people with whatever it may be to walk away from God or to walk away from a principle of God. He talks about this in other places. He's not literally saying if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off, but he's saying, hey, it would be better than this. In the same way, you shouldn't lead people to stumble. You shouldn't lead people away from God. It would be better for you, especially if you're talking about kids, to have a millstone around your neck, which is a big, huge grinding rock, which weighs probably several hundred pounds, around your neck and to be thrown into the depths of the sea. That would be better than for you to lead kids away from Jesus. Jesus, in the gospel, he's always connecting people to who he is. And we all know, I think we all know that our kids are super important to us, especially in America. We'll run all over the place. I don't know about your schedule, Travis, but...
Yeah, but basketball is in playoff mode right now, and I don't think we've been home one night yet in the past 2 weeks.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
I think in our culture, unlike the first century culture, our kids become the central point of the family, which I'm not sure is all... That's a whole nother podcast, maybe. But we know that kids are important, and we celebrate our kids, we love our kids, we care about our kids. And there's a story that always sticks out to me. It's Jesus talking with Jairus. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him after the crowd had put outside. He went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread all over the region. That's the story of Jairus, which is a synagogue leader, and his daughter had become sick. She dies, and people are outside, and they would have professional mourners out there. And Jesus recognizes the importance of this child, recognizes the importance of this child in Jairus's life. And he goes in there and raises this kid from the dead. In that time, you have to know that the mortality rate was probably very high.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was moved enough by this guy's faith and this girl's untimely death to intervene. He demonstrates this compassion for this family. And part of kids, what they do is I think they connect us to each other. They connect us. You know, you probably go to a 100 basketball games right now and volleyball games and all these other things, but it connects us to each other in a community, our kids do. And they're super important to us in all of this. And one of the things I think Jesus sees in this is how much this daughter of Jairus is important to this mm-hmm. family and how big his faith is that he believed that Jesus could raise her from the dead.
And I think it's super cool to see how much this little girl meant to Jesus. I mean, he goes there, he makes the trip, and that in and of itself was just a big deal right there because of all that was going on with him and his teaching and his notoriety and fame at the time. But when you read verse 41, he tells him, he takes the little girl by the hand and he says, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." He's gentle, he's kind, he's loving. Like, he could have done it in a bajillion different powerful ways, lightning, whatever, earthquake, but he's gentle like a father. And I think that is super cool to notice in that story, that Jesus has this compassion, this love for kids, even when they were marginalized there, but it mattered so much to him, and the faith that Jairus and his family had mattered so much to him that he just had to go and do it.
Well, I wonder how much faith that little girl had also before she died, because her daddy had a lot of faith, right? There's an old saying that says a family that prays together stays together, and there is something that actually is true about that statement. When we are connected to the local church, when we're modeling that to our children, when we're walking with them, I think it gives them perspective on this world. We all can say this world is broken. There's many things that are harsh and many things that are not what the way they should be. But when we start to understand who God is and we start to understand how he loves us and cares about us, I think it changes things and it changes for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, Everett, we've got you here. What is the thing that you love most about the church community and what you get out of it here at Evangel?
Well, all the friends you can make and how everyone's super nice.
Yeah, and do you say that those friends that you have, would they challenge you to live out the way that the Bible tells us to live?
Yes.
So you got some good buddies here?
Yep.
Yeah, one of the things that here at Evangel that is very important to us is our children's ministry, and we're here not to shun kids and go, hey, you know,
shh, be quiet, sit still.
You know, the old saying of you shall be seen and not heard, that is not our goal. We want them to have a great time. We want them to mess this building up. We want them to enjoy their time here. We think that church should be fun, that they would learn about the creator of the world who is fun, who is awesome, who is enjoyable to be around, who loves us so much. And so we want to embrace kids and we want them to embrace church. We just want to invite you, if you have kids and want to connect them to the local church, Travis, this is kind of your area of specialty.
Yeah, we would love to have you guys here. We've got awesome kids programming. We've got Awana on Wednesday nights, and you can come and still sign up for that throughout the year. We've got a great place to play when we do our games and stuff. We've got an indoor playground of about 1,500 square feet, plus an awesome Gaga ball pit that gets used all the time, and basketball court and stuff for the kids. Like you said, we want to have a fun place for the kids where they can meet, know, and fall in love with Jesus and follow him for a lifetime. So we've got youth group stuff Sunday nights. We've got Sunday school and kids ministry during our Sunday services. So if you've got kids and you want them to know Jesus, or you want them to be introduced to Jesus for the first time, come and hang out with us.
Yeah, well, this is Pearls and Swine. We are so thankful for you listening.
Yeah, if you guys liked what we talked about and want to catch any of the previous episodes of Pearls and Swine, you can search Evangel Houghton Podcast on either your Apple or Google devices. You can also check us out on our website, evangelup.org. And if you've got any questions, you can always email those or comments into travis@evangelup.org.
Bird Slayer, you have any parting words for our listeners?
Come to church. I need new friends.
Excellent. Hopefully none of your friends listen to this. Hey, thanks so much, Everett, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.